Welcome to the Awakening Wave Show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Awakening Wave, where we ride the currents of consciousness and embrace the boundless freedom of ascension. Today, we're going to explore how true liberation unfolds as we rise into our highest excitement, becoming free with the evolution of our homesteading process, and how to defend ourselves by knowing our human rights, breaking free from limitations, and aligning with the infinite potential of our universe. Your choice depends on each individual situation, okay? And every choice that we make individually will be on a timeline. There's no getting around it. But the beauty of knowing is you can control the timeline you create with the intention behind it. Now, I am one to say that on my journey through my ascension process, which happened 3 years ago, I have made good choices and I have made bad choices, but they were my choices. All right. And that's all a part of the evolution that we're going through during this time. So good day, everyone. Good day. Good day. Great to be back for another collaboration with all of you. I'm Robin Lee, your host. Title of our show today is Defending Your Homestead with Your Knowing and a Little Bit of Grit. So I would like to start off with understanding that nothing can grow or evolve without movement or change. We are seeing and feeling a lot of that in the present day throughout the world. Just my observation. What is life without surprises? Or some could even say changes. Some of us have changes daily, okay, and we grow from them. And I'm just here to say that you have to embrace everything that comes your way because that's all a part of the evolution. Okay. Now, I want to just stop here for a minute and talk a little bit about that from experiences that I've had. So when we grow, we evolve. And without movement of growth and evolution, or change, we are seeing and feeling a lot of that in our everyday lives. That's just a fact. It's happening worldwide. So what is life without surprises? Or some could say change. Changes. Some of us take comfort in wanting to live life without any surprises, ideally. If we didn't change and all of our circumstances stayed the same, we would never grow. We would never evolve in our experiences. And I am one to say that my experiences and my growth on my journey have been through many tools. I have reviewed books from Stuart Swerdlow. I've learned about programs. I've even had some scans done to understand the programs that have been done to me. Now, we sit there and think when we do clearings that, you know, once we do a clearing, whatever we're clearing is gone. But you know what, you guys? There's layer after layer after layer after layer. It's nonstop. It's like a Kleenex. You take one, throw that away. Take another, throw it away. It goes on and on and on. Same with the program. Here's a program. There's a program. The programs go on and on. And they want you to do a program just to get your mind off of where you really need to go. And that is within. And we all know that. Okay. So if we didn't change and all of our circumstances stay the same, as I said, we're not going to grow. We're not going to have those experiences. We all want life to be better, but in most cases, that requires change. And on this planet, as I said earlier, we are undergoing significant change. And that is a fact. There's no getting around that. We all chose to come here to have a physical experience in this dimension here on Earth because of all the myriads of opportunities. If we don't take advantage of them, what's the point? Really, what is the point? Staying within your comfort zone, for me, it isn't any fun. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm in my peace space. I do this, I do that. I don't go to work. I don't go to the matrix. My quiet time is here. And that's good. That's good for that person. But for me, my experiences that I have with going into the matrix helps me to grow better at my discernment and to understand the feelings that I'm having, the frequencies that I'm experiencing. And that for me is change. And I like to have different experiences every day. I'm not one to just, sleep for 6, 7 hours or hang out, on the beach all day. Now, do I love to do that? I do, very much so. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So therefore, when change comes, transformation. And with transformation comes evolution. If we stop looking at change as bad or good, like duality, because all change does is nourish our soul. Some equate it with lack of control. Life just happens and it's supposed to happen. You can direct how it plays out, and you always have the power to accept the change that redirects your path. Now, I just want to share with everyone, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I took a little trip to Florida. And how it came about is I had the yearning to be in the ocean. I wanted it so bad, I felt it, and I just visualized it. And the next thing you know, I'm making a call to a friend, wanting to sleep on the couch. And before you know it, we have a beautiful condo on the beach and we're on the ocean. So I got to spend 5 beautiful days on the ocean. I boogie boarded. I played in the water like a little kid, giggling and laughing. I walked on the beach. I got up in the morning, jogged on the beach while the sun was coming up. I hung out with some friends that were, like me, a light being that where you could have conversations about the real things that are happening and bouncing things off of each other and trying to understand some of the things that are happening. It's not always easy. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you know what? I walk in my truth. I talk in my truth. And I am okay with who I am. I love who I am. And I'm not going to change for anyone. If there's somebody who doesn't like what I do or what I say, that's on you. That's not on me. That's something you got to deal with. But I'm going to continue doing what I do. I'm going to do me. And that's why I'm here, to have these experiences. I took that trip. You know why? Because I can. I created that trip. It happened. It turned out better than I was just looking to be on a couch and being able to get in the ocean for the weekend. And I didn't care what I had to do to get there. I was going. That's all I knew. And I did it. And we all have that power to create whatever it is that we want to do and the things that we love to do. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, a lot of chaos, crazy stuff going on. But you got to remember to stay grounded, stay in your high frequency, and just do the things that you love. And be true to yourself. It doesn't matter what others think or feel about you. You know who you are, and you be true to yourself because that's what I do, and I will not stop doing that. And I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. Okay, there. Now, going on to my agenda points for the show. And I have a guest today. Teresa is joining me. Teresa, are you there? Okay, I don't know if she's.
Can you hear me? Yes, I just unmuted myself. Sorry. Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, I'm good. Good, good, good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of share the agenda with the audience. So we're going to talk about defending ourselves if we need to in a court system in regard to the UCC1 filing for, okay? We're going to review the steps. We're going to also, I got a timeline. And yes, I'm going to do a timeline, you guys. I'm going to reference a timeline. All right? There's no getting around timelines. Every day of our life, we create a timeline. But the beauty of it is that you have control of how that timeline's going to turn out, and whether it's going to be your highest excitement. So you have that choice. You have the power to make the choices of what kind of timelines you want to participate in. So I decided to do a little time traveling today, and we're going to do a history of the homesteading and how it came to be all the way up to the Fed Reserve. And then we're going to talk about the steps, do a quick review of the steps on how to fill the forms out, when we're going to need them, whether it be for a foreclosure or for property taxes. So, real quick, I want to say to all of you that are just joining me for the first time, please, please, please go to the PRQ Homestead Show on BBS Radio. They are starting them all over again. And so those, I know I have a few people here that have emailed me that are interested in doing the homestead, but I urge them to go and listen to the shows, the PRQ Homestead shows, and they are starting all over again. Last weekend was show number two. And I gotta say, you guys, I listened to it, and every time I listen to the shows, I learn something new. And what really touched me in the show is I heard Q say, I'm here to teach you so that you can teach others. And that really resonates with me because when I had my one-on-one with Q, he said that I was a catalyst and that I'm a teacher and that I like to turn rocks over. Now, at the time, I didn't know what the heck that meant, but I do now. And I know what my purpose is and what I'm here to do. I'm a healer and I'm a teacher. And that is what I'm here to do. And I know that. And I'm solid with it, and that's what I'm gonna do. So just make sure you go check those out. We're gonna have all the PDFs that we talk about today on my show page so that you can check them out. There is also another resource if you want to know more about what's happening. Solid information is for the people.space. They have such great information there. A new one came out this week called Ether. And there's another element to the four elements: air, water. What's the other one? Air, water.
Fire.
Lisa, I just had that. Air, water, land.
Fire.
Air, water, land, and
Air. Air, water, fire.
fire. That's it. And then ether. So ether is the fifth one. It's very fascinating what they share with us about that. And then for those of you that are new, learning the ascension. And you want to know more about it, go to thecreationlightship.com to the left of the pane. You'll see the word ascension, click on it, all kinds of information there. And then read more about the clearings. And there's a lot of audios from Ron Amitron. Please, please, please check those out. Lots of great information. And then, as you all know, Antonio was on my show a couple weeks ago. I do have his link for the one-on-ones if you're interested in doing one-on-ones on Antonio. He brings great information to us, and he's so passionate about everything he does. And I really was able to connect and feel my spirit when I did the one-on-ones with him. And I am actually doing it on my own. I feel it. And the last one-on-one that we did, I was actually doing it on my own, and he pointed that out to me. So thank you so much, Antonio. Again, one-on-ones with Antonio, go check it out. It's on my show page. And then one last shout out to my sponsor, NanoOgis. Their website is www.nanoogis.net. Great product. I use it all the time. Somebody told me that Kelly, Connect with Kelly, had Dr. Raghavan on her show, but I didn't get a chance to check it out. But I don't think it was Dr. Raghavan because I did talk to him and he doesn't recall being on the show. So she did have some great information from what I hear. I didn't check the show out. But on my show, you can go to this website and get 15% off of all the products by using the Awakening Wave 63 code. And that's just not on the first order. That's on every order that you go through my website with that promo code. So I just bought three bottles, and the savings on that with that code is $22.95. So I buy three of the wellness spray, and I buy three of the skin spray. So that's almost $23 per bottle. So it's like a $46 savings, big savings there. You can go to the website, click on the Learn tab for all the scientific information, and there are live testimonials there. Now, I am looking to have Natasha, which is the niece of Dr. Raghavan, on the show in the future. She's been very, very busy, has a busy schedule, so we're trying to narrow down a date for her to come on. Because with all the stuff that's happening out there with the rise of cancer and some other ailments that are going on due to, that little thing that everybody put in their arm not too long ago. So she will touch base on that and talk with us in more detail on the product and what it does and how it helps. All right. There's also a new movie. Well, it's really not a new movie, I found out. It actually had a part one. But the part two is coming out. It's The Birthright, Born Free, Live Free, with the likes of David Strait, Jordan Maxwell, and many more. The movie was created by Luminance Pictures. And the first movie, part one, was released in 2023. And I do believe 2025. I still haven't narrowed down when it is supposed to air. So if anybody knows that, please email me. Let me know because I can't wait to watch it. The director producer is Sarah Cannafini. She's an Emmy nominated filmmaker, and the writer was Jason Boltzli. Now I've never heard those two before, so they must be new. And then the premise of the documentary, it examines the erosion of the individual and national sovereignty in the U.S., focusing on the legal, the financial, and the historical frameworks. It argues that rights have been transformed into state-granted privileges, exploring topics like admiralty law, which we are all, a lot of us are aware of, which claims that maritime law is misapplied to the citizens, treating them as commercial entities. And we're going to touch base on a little bit of that today. It also talks about the birth certificates and suggests these create a legal fiction binding individuals to corporate state systems. And then the corporation of government, which alleges to neglect bureaucracy and the financial instruments undermine the constitutional freedoms. So, very interesting. It combines the archival research, interviews, and storytelling to highlight the movement to reclaim personal freedom. And that's what we're all here for. This is why I am sharing my personal journey through the homestead. I've actually homesteaded my property. Everything is quiet on the front. It's been very peaceful. I gotta say, I'm living my best life right now. I've never been so happy. I am connecting with myself, learning to love myself, not learning. I'm actually loving myself. Yes, I can honestly say that. And I'm looking forward to where I continue on going in my journey, my evolution of this ascension process. It's very beautiful. And I am so happy to be able to share that with everyone. So my passion is to share how to learn how to do this with others. Now, there are also some pros and cons to it, and I'll talk about that later. But I'd like to start with the timeline of the Homestead Act of 1862 and the establishment of the Federal Reserve, which took place in 1913. Now, these are both significant milestones in the American economic and land policy, but they address different aspects of the US development. So, the following timeline that I'm about to share with everyone traces back to these key events related to the Homestead Act and the major economic developments leading to the creation of the Fed that we all know. Well, I'm not going to say it yet, but. So the timeline of the Homestead Act and the economic developments leading to the Federal Reserve started in 1848, and it was called the Free Soil Movement Gains Traction. The Free Soil Party advocates for free land grants to settlers opposing the expansion of slavery into the Western territories. This idea lays early ideological idea. How do you, I can never say that word. Help me out, Teresa. You're great at those words.
Ideology.
Thank you. Actually, it's ideological, or no, it's GICAL, groundwork for the Homestead Act. So in the 1850s, they pushed for the Homestead legislation. The Southern states blocked the Homestead Bill in Congress, fearing that free land would attract non-slaveholding settlers and tip the balance against slavery. Well, isn't that interesting? Because we are all fucking slaves, not just the black people, all of us, and that's a fact. Yes, I said the F word. So what? All right, moving on. May 20th, 1862. Homestead Act is signed. President Abraham Lincoln signs the Homestead Act into law. It grants 160 acres of public land to settlers for a small fee, provided they improve the land by building and dwelling and cultivating crops for 5 years. The act's aim was to encourage westward expansion and agricultural development. Does that sound about right to you, Teresa?
It does. I'm less familiar with the Homestead Act, more familiar with the 13 colonies, but so far that does sound about right.
Yeah, that's on your side. Yeah, that's a whole nother beast in itself. And we'll get to that at one point in time. Okay, so that goes on January 1st of 1863. The Homestead Act takes effect. The law becomes operational, allowing citizens or those intending to become citizens over 21, including freed slaves and women. Well, isn't that nice of them? To claim land. So over 1.6 million homesteads are eventually granted, distributing about 270 million acres in 1934. Wow. Think of all the patents that are out there. That's a lot. So in 1873, there comes a major financial crisis called the Panic of 1873, triggered by railroad speculation and bank failures, which exposes the weaknesses in the U.S. banking system. This event fuels debates about monetary policy and economic stability, indirectly setting the stage for later banking reforms. Oh, I can hardly wait. So then it moves on to 1880 through the 1890s, how the homestead expands. Homesteading peaks in the Great Plains, though challenges like arid land, fraud, and speculative claims limit success. About 40% of homestead claims are abandoned or fail due to harsh conditions and insufficient support. So that's very interesting. When they say fraud, you know, that's one thing that concerns me about when we start really getting active all over everywhere with homestead, that people know that it's not to homestead it and then turn around and sell it for profit. So it has to be something that we trade or we give away and we swap and, you know, the barter system. And hopefully that's where we go. Who knows where we're going? That's in the future. We'll see. So then in 1890, the Sherman Silver Purchase Act. Congress passes this act, increasing the money supply by requiring the government to purchase silver. It contributes to economic instability, highlighting the need for more flexible money systems. So, you know, there was a topic, Teresa, that where they talked about the greenback sticks. I didn't put that in here today, but that was very interesting. And that's what they kind of used before the Fed, the Federal Reserve came along. I thought that was interesting.
That was just all manipulated by the cabal, whether, I mean, all of those issues, recessions, depressions, scarcity, it's just all a manipulation by the cabal.
Yeah, and they were
it
going
was never
strong.
Real.
Yep, they were going strong back then, too. And that brings me back to the Titanic. I can't remember when that sunk, but I know that there were three very well-off men that were on that ship, and they were supposed to meet J.P. Morgan for a meeting because they were against the... I think the Federal Reserve, if
correct.
My,
yep.
And suddenly J.P. Morgan got sick, right? And didn't make it. Go figure, right? So it's so funny how the Titanic movie and how the ship sunk was all because of an iceberg when in actual reality, false flag, even back then, there was a some kind of blow up in the port or the bow, I think it was. And that's why the ship sunk. So they had to get those three gentlemen out of the way because they were going to be a problem, apparently. So Isn't that funny how things never change? So in 1893, another severe financial crisis, they called it the Panic of 1893, marked by the bank failures and a stock market crash, underscores the lack of a central banking authority to stabilize the economy. And then, of course, the financial crisis, again, Panic of 1907, driven by the stock market speculation and bank runs, it nearly collapses the US economy. And then, of course, JP Morgan's intervention stabilizes the market. Oh, my hero. But the crisis reveals the need for centralized banking systems to manage liquidity and prevent the panics. And then in 1908, National Monetary Commission formed. Congress established the commission to study banking reforms following the Panic of 1907. Its findings lay the groundwork for, yes, wait for it, the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve controlling system, as we know today. Well, it's dead. The Fed is dead now. So the other infamous one is the 1910 Jekyll Island meeting. And there's actually a book that was written about that meeting. I think it came out in 1994. I don't have the name of it. A friend of mine shared it with me earlier today. But there was a truther on YouTube that actually did a segment about that. And it was all evolved around satanic rituals, this meeting. Now, when you go to look it up, they quote it as a conspiracy theory. Isn't that interesting how that word comes up when they don't want you to know the truth? So the key bankers and policy makers secretly meet to draft a plan for a central banking system. Secretly. Now, why would they secretly have to meet? Balancing public control with private expertise. This becomes the basis for the Federal Reserve Act. Now, what I just said about the satanic, that's allegedly, we'll say allegedly. I wasn't there, but there's a lot of information out there on it. So if anybody's interested in deep diving on it, definitely check it out. And then we go on to December 23, 1913. Federal Reserve Act is signed by the one and only President Woodrow Wilson. He signs the Federal Reserve Act, creating the Federal Reserve System. The Fed is established and the U.S. Central Bank to regulate monetary policy, stabilize the financial system, and manage currency supply. And then, last but not least, yeah, this is the big one. The Homestead Act effectively ends. Isn't that interesting how it ends and then the Fed begins when we know the Fed wasn't ever really real? Is that a correct statement? Would you agree?
Yeah, but how does this article presume that the Homestead, so relating back to whether it's the 13 colonies or the Homestead Act, is in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, the Property Clause, grants Congress the power to utilize and dispose of U.S. territory. So that's how the military revolutionary heroes got land patents in the 1700s. And that's how the Homestead Act came in. So the point of the story is only Congress can modify it, not a rogue court. So how did the Homestead Act end?
Well, it says here that the Taylor Grazing Act and other New Deal policies curtail the homesteading by withdrawing most remaining public lands from settlement. The homesteading continues in Alaska until 1986, but on a much smaller scale.
But if it ended, that does not invalidate homesteads, land patents that were granted via the Homestead Act. It doesn't invalidate patents that were given under the Revolutionary War times for the first 13 colonies.
Right.
So
Agreed, agreed.
in other words, they put articles out like that to dissuade you and lead you to think that this process is not valid, and that's just a bunch of poppycock. The process is valid.
Yeah, and you know the word right there that they withdrew the most remaining public lands. Well, how does that make it end? Just because you withdrew the land?
But again, even if it ended, the land patents that were already issued remained valid and in effect. And what was occurring back then, as I understand it, is even in the 1700s, people were being convinced that conveying this by deed, getting mortgages, getting involved in the system, in other words, was a better way to go. So many patentees just gave up. They deeded the property out. However, with the process on the PRQ website, you can revive the patent. You can become the successor to the original patentee, nunc pro tunc, and take back the rights that that original patentee had.
Yes,
That's the process.
agreed, 100%. And so everyone that's listening, please go to the PRQ Homestead Show and start learning the process, okay? Because we're here to help you, but we're not going to do the work. And the best way to learn how to do it is by doing it. Okay? I'm one that has done it. It was fairly simple. It was a lot of, paperwork, and I hate doing that kind of stuff. That's for lawyers. No pun intended here. So anyway, the Homestead Act of 1862 transferred land ownership and spurred westward expansion, shaping the U.S. economy by creating a class of independent farmers. However, it also coincided with speculative land practices that contributed to economic volatility. So the financial panics of 1873, 1893, and 1907 exposed the fragility of the U.S. banking system, which lacked a central authority to manage crises. These events directly, or excuse me, indirectly influenced push for the Federal Reserve. Do you think they set that up? I'm wondering.
Can't give the slaves too much freedom. They can't
Yep.
let us out of the pen too far. They got to reel us back in.
Exactly.
Right.
So the Federal Reserve, 1913, to provide economic stability. Both policies reflects the U.S. government's evolving role in managing resources, land, in the case of the Homestead Act and the money supply with the Federal Reserve. So that I just wanted to kind of give everybody a little background of how this all evolved. And it is still alive and well. The only thing that isn't alive and well is the Federal Reserve. We all know that. And if you don't know that, well, you better do some deep dives into it. So, Teresa, I want to kind of start out by talking about the experiences that the both of us have had with the homesteading. Okay, for me, your situation's a little different from mine. I homesteaded my property, I went through all the steps, and it's been quiet on the homestead. And that's because I'm free and I know I'm free. And it's not something I believe, I just know it. And it's just been a beautiful process for me. And I'm so grateful that Q brought this information to us through this show that he created. And I learned a lot from it. And I'm listening to the shows all over again, and even the timeline ones, because we pick up things each and every time. And so the UCC 1 filing, what is it for? Can you give us a little, expand upon that a little bit?
As I see it relating to the homestead, for instance, going through the homestead process, just to talk about that for a minute, it'll be all peaceful and love until someone decides it's not like a foreclosure bank. And I'm telling you that you can put up all the signs you want, they're not going to recognize it. So today I had an incident. And the it was the trespasser was aided and abetted by a state trooper, so he's going to learn some things after this experience. And they allowed them to trespass. So they, in other words, they completely ignored the various federal code sections, blah blah blah. So
Now, are you talking about what your the incident that happened with you? Okay, so and I just want to share with the audience, we're here sharing our experiences, and even though Teresa went through that today, I felt exactly what, maybe not what she was feeling, but I know what I would have felt in her position.
But you know
And
what? The better way for me to look at it is this. It's a learning experience for all of us.
yeah.
It gives me the chance to assert my authority as a sovereign human. in, and it gives them the chance to learn about acting under color of state law. It gives them a chance to learn about federal codes. So we all get to learn, and the cabal is going to kick and scream a little bit about this, and that's okay. We'll teach them, and we'll all be better for it.
Yeah, and the thing,
and
when
so,
I don't mean to end it, but real quick, and the thing is when this kind of situation does happen to us, we got to stay in our hearts. We got to stay calm. And you're going to get that little anxiety buzz that comes up because, you know, okay, how do you react? How do you, the thing is to stay calm, deep breathing, lots of deep breathing. And I actually imagine myself and put myself in your place of what you went through during that time. And I know that the key here is what Q said, learn the language, know the language, know everything, know it from your heart, what resonates with you. And just go according to what comes out of your connection with the language, and it should flow if you're coming from your heart. And hopefully those that are receiving the language and how you present it will also feel that heartfelt frequency.
Look, and I was mildly annoyed for a moment today. Again, and I look at this as not only a learning experience for them, for me, I view it as a money-making experience for me because I can. But how that relates all to the UCC is, it would be my opinion that just relying on a federal land patent, if you're in a creditor, like a foreclosure situation, is not prudent. It's my opinion that you have, because there is rogue law, case law out there, which says that a land patent cannot defeat a mortgage. We all know that's baloney, but we also know that there are rogue judges out there. So what do? You load up the complaint, you assert other things like the UCC. One, and it's a simple document to fill out. You separate the straw man, you know, your birth certificate name. You separate that and you form a trust. So it's two distinct entities, if you will, because let me read something to explain. Who are the parties involved? The legal person, and this relates to how to fill out the UCC, because once you know who the parties are, the UCC will take like 2 seconds to fill out. The legal person is the trustee. Okay, the trustee is the SS name, so the name on your birth certificate is the trustee of your trust. The living woman, you are the beneficiary, okay? And in this regard, you do a special appearance with the court because the court makes the wrong presumption about you and you need to correct the presumption. You present yourself as a beneficiary and you offer an equitable remedy, because right now the court, until you separate the straw man from yourself, from you, the living person, the court makes the presumption that you are acting as a surety. The court makes the presumption that you really don't exist. You're just a straw man. So you have to, that's inarticulate, but there are forms that I can send to you to put on your platform. You correct the presumption. You go to the court and you say, look, and I'm making a special appearance as the beneficiary, not the trustee. I'm the beneficiary, and I'm asking you in peace and love to equitably settle this matter. And that's the whole basis of, you send them a private communication in equity. Again, we can put that form on your platform, and you ask them for various forms, which they will never be able to present to you, because especially in a mortgage situation, they've never shelled out any money. It was never truly a loan. It was ever only a swap. So they never put out any money. They have no consideration involved. If there's no consideration, then they have no harm. If there's no harm, there's no need for a remedy, because there is no remedy for nothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I've actually looked at the form. It's a very short form. It looks really easy to fill out. I mean, it's like two sections, and then, but there is a set of instructions that come with it that I have yet to read. And And
you
I
know what? I don't even think you need to, because it's very simple. Who is
well,
the debtor?
no,
You are
I
the debtor. The
for,
straw man name on your birth certificate is the debtor. Who is the creditor? The creditor is your express trust that you're going to design. Those are the two blanks you fill in. What is the collateral? The collateral is all the assets of the debtor. It's that simple.
okay, and for you it is now, and I love that you make it sound easy because I've got it sitting on my computer and I have tried to fill out it 3 times and I'm stumped. And I feel for me, I have to read it to understand it. And I have to physically do it. And it is easy. It really is. The form is short, it's simple, but you really got to understand the meaning of what you're putting in there and how it relates to defending yourself in the court.
Yes.
Because that's the.
Simultaneously with filling out the UCC, you want to also fill out a security agreement. You don't have to show them the security agreement unless and until your UCC one is challenged by someone. But you fill it out nonetheless, and you set it to the side in a file.
Yeah.
You also fill out an express trust. And that's perfectly private. You do not have to show that to anyone. So you do those three steps all together or simultaneously.
Okay. So what I'm trying to visualize is that, say, just for an example, say we have to go to federal court because we're being pulled in regard, say, to a mortgage, and we're walking in there. So you're saying when you have these UCC1 filing documents and you understand what you're going to be explaining to the judge or whomever it may be, that as long as you have this UCC1 and you know how to talk that language, you should come out pretty well when you leave that courtroom.
I would even suggest something a little bit easier to start with, and that is to send the creditor a conditional acceptance, explaining, asking them, look it, provide me all of these documents, which they can never provide because they don't have a loss. They know that they've already been paid out of your birth bond. It's all a fiction that they've created. So when you ask them for certain documents, when you suggest to them that you know that they're a foreign reg agent that is not properly registered, therefore, any contracts that were entered into between a foreign agent that is not properly registered and you as the party is void. When you point out all those things to them in a nice letter with peace and love, my guess is that they might reconsider. It might alleviate the necessity to file a lawsuit and take that extra step. At least
So,
that's what I'm going to try to do immediately.
what you're saying, you can actually start with like the mortgage company before even having to go into court. Hopefully, not have to go into court by just, working it out.
Exactly.
Okay. I like
I've
that
seen
notion a little bit
examples
better.
of it working with creditors like for instance, Synchrony Bank. Look up Synchrony Bank and you'll be perhaps amazed at all the companies that they own. Synchrony Bank is a foreign entity. They're not properly registered, but nobody questions that because we go through the cabal system instead. Well, now let's start bringing it in and pointing these things out. So it's worked with in those. So I would think that the same process will work with the mortgage company. And so I say assert all of your defenses, load it up, send them a letter with peace and love as a conditional acceptance, and see where they go. If you have to go into court, then you do. And you can go into, I believe you can go into state court. I find state court personally easier to use, but that's a personal choice, whether you be state or federal.
Right. And I would prefer that avenue versus going, to have a hearing in federal court or something like that. The less that we got to
Plus,
be.
it's time consuming, it's costly, it's static that you don't need to engage in.
Yeah.
You just don't. You
My
should be able
name.
to get a conditional acceptance with a little bit of a twist, like no, you're federally not properly registered kind of twist. It might convince them to drop it.
Exactly. So When you do this and you request that information from them, do they normally send you everything or do they not? When you're trying to get all the
I don't have practical experience, so I don't know about that.
Okay, because that would be
I
interesting to know.
would think, I don't know. I know that I filed a motion to dismiss in Cabal Court in New York, and the attorney, the who's representing the foreign agent that's not properly registered. Oh, that's just what we don't. They don't recognize the federal land patent. It's like, listen, schmo, I don't care what you recognize, but that was the response I got, and I withdrew the motion anyway. So,
Yeah.
I just let it be
Yep.
for now.
And sometimes that's what you got to do, just roll with what's taking place. Now, I had some phone calls come to my workplace, not this past week, but the week before. And you shared the under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Right.
And you gave me a line to say when they called. And when they called, I said to them that I would like them to cease and desist on continuing phone calls or any emails in regard to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And you know what
Yeah.
the guy said to me, okay, we'll take care of that. And that was the end of it. And I have not gotten a phone call since.
Because they're not, because of violation of that. The last time I checked, which was a while ago, was like $1,000 per incident. So it's like, I'd like to tell you to keep calling me because I had used the jingle, but please stop. Please just stop.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I actually took my mailbox down and I have a PO box now. And I check it maybe once a month and it's like there's no mail coming, not even to the PO box. And I'm like, this is really cool. Am I in a different world?
Yeah, it is pretty nice. And when I get stuff in my, I did that like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And it did, I will say this, it takes the mail like about two or three. So you might get a bunch of mail all at once because it takes like 2 or 3 days for their systems to catch up because they send it back to the post office and they send it to your PO box. So, because it's government efficiency, of course. And from the PO box, I just throw it in the garbage can.
Yeah, that's really. I had three letters today. They weren't on anything. One was a bill, and the other two I just tossed in the garbage, but nothing major. So, I'll be back next month to check it, and we'll just keep on going from there. But it's really nice not having to check the mailbox. Now, we got a few minutes left, and I just want to real quick talk about the authentication of your birth certificate. I know the steps are, from what I hear, the birth records are maintained by the Vital Records Division and by the state and local government under the Department of Health, and I think it's a similar agency. So
Yep.
you can go for the long form birth certificate versus the short form certificate, and you can do that at the countyoffice.org. Now, can you just kind of quickly talk about the differences? And because I know that you have to go to the state. The state first, and then they send a document back to you, and then you proceed into the federal. Is that correct? I don't know the steps exactly yet.
Yes, but let's talk for a moment about why. Why do you authenticate your birth certificate? Because the public fiduciary system doesn't treat you like the living woman unless and until you stand in that role and prove your competence to act.
Yes.
So that's why you want to authenticate it. So the first thing you do is you get a vault or a certified copy of your birth certificate from Vital Statistics in the county where you were born. Or probably, I would think that. If you know you wouldn't have to travel necessarily back to the county, but I would think the vital statistics in the state of Michigan in any county could pull your birth record, for instance. Once you get the certified copy, you then send, and again, we can put these letters on your platform. You send a letter to the state in which you were born, and ask them to give you an authentic birth certificate.
Okay.
They send it back, and then the last step is, and there's a form. Again, we can put that on your platform that you send to the U.S. Department of State, excuse me, Office of Authentication. Pardon me for that interruption. And you ask them to last step authenticate your birth certificate.
Okay. Because that's another process I want to learn too. I think that's a lot of people are doing that. There's so many people in all the I see a lot of people on YouTube. There's a lot of people on Rumble that are talking about this. So it is really, really picking up. And as a conscious collective, the more of us that are waking up to who we really are and how to free ourselves, I
So the
think.
last step with the federal government, and this will be in the letter that can be on your platform, you're asking them to document, the document is to be authenticated for lawful, non-commercial, private trust administration within the jurisdiction of the United States. So
Okay.
again, you're separating your straw man, as I see it, and you're saying, I'm the authentic, I'm the living person. So that's why you, and it sounds like it's a very simple three-step process.
Yeah, it sounds pretty easy. I know a few people that have done it, but haven't really used it. And, with where we're going, to the future, I think, this is the connection part of one of the parts of our freedom on how to free ourselves, because as a collective, it is up to us to make this happen. We can't just sit back and wait for things to happen.
Well, you don't want to wait for things to, you want to have steps and systems in place for, so when you do need to use it, the steps and the systems are already in place and you rely on that. Your homestead is already in place. Your UCC will already be in place, so you can, your birth certificate will already be authenticated. So you sit back with freedom and peace and you watch everything unfold.
Yeah, and it's been really peaceful. It's been beautiful. Yeah. So once you get finished with all this, and you learn how to fill it out, is there any more that we have to do in terms of filing it?
No, you can file the UCC, for instance, can be filed online. Your security agreement and express trust are private documents, but for the security agreement, if it's challenged, you might have to show that. But by and large, they're private documents. You just keep them in a file in your office or wherever you choose to.
Okay. All right. That's so exciting. I'm so excited about learning all this stuff. It's a lot, that's for sure. But I want to say very much to you. Thank you so much for all the help and wisdom that you bring to all of us. And this particular UCC one filing, what else, just real quick, what else can you use it for other than your defending your homestead and the mortgage? I mean, it's something also when it comes to credit cards that you want to.
100%. I personally choose to. I chose to stop paying bills like 2 years ago because of the usury, because of the birth bond, etc. A couple people are just, or creditors are just beginning to catch up. So I'm going to reach out to them with a conditional acceptance and lay it all on them. I'm going to add in the foreign registration that they're not properly registered.
Have you
And they'll drop it. I'm not going to be overt and go against. If somebody comes at me, I will defend myself. I'm not going to be the antagonist.
Right. I mean, this has been told to us many times by Q. When it comes to defending yourself, learn the language. And that's what I'm doing. I'm learning the language. As much as I don't want to dive into all this not all these terms and all these different forms, it's not my highest excitement, but being free is one of my highest excitements, and I'm really enjoying it. And I want to continue on because there's other homestead areas that I would like to venture off in once this one is completed. And I'm really looking forward to heading towards the ocean. That's where I'm headed.
Well, look at it like this. We know that the homestead documents that the PRQ team put up, we know that those are vetted. We know that those are good. We don't have to worry about it. So we can put together some forms collectively, put
I'm
them on
not
your
worried about it.
platform,
Seriously.
and we'll know that those are good. So you don't have to know the minutiae as much as just you can rely on the forms and you know that they're valid and you know that the process is a valid one. So it takes like the anxiety out of dealing with pay. Like I personally don't mind dealing with paperwork. I'm kind of used to it. But for those that have the anxiety, We can have boilerplate forms on your platform. Boom. Just, make it particular to you, your name and so on. Make sure you feel the document, that it feels proper to you, and just go from there. That's it.
Yeah, I am working with some two young guys in my gym that are programmers, and they are helping me build a website. And another project that I'm working on that I don't normally like to do stuff like that, but it is WordPress. And I actually started WordPress on my own a while back, but I stopped because I'm like, okay, wait a minute, this is a lot. I can't just dive in this and build it just like that. So they are helping me put it together, and we'll see how that turns out.
Oh, it'll be beautiful.
I think so too, because it's fun creating. I love to create. Even the stuff that I wouldn't normally go near. But if there's something that we want, we can create it, and we shouldn't be afraid and doubt ourselves that we're not able to do it. We can create anything we want, and that's the beauty of the knowing and being the powerful beings that we are. So, okay. So we're at the end of the show. Thank you, Teresa, so much for joining me today. Truly appreciate it.
Thank
And
you for asking me
oh
and having
yeah,
me.
anytime. I love collaborating with you and our other friend over there up in the mountains. She's wonderful, and I know she's
Oh,
listening.
yeah.
Sending you love, girlfriend.
Oh, man, she's a, what a source.
I
Yep.
know she's yeah, there's no words. But anyway, thank you to all the listeners. Please, please go and check out the Project Homestead at 1 o'clock. Is that how you say it? Is it the PR? It's PRQ Homestead. It's at 1 o'clock every Saturday. They did show number two last Saturday. And
Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock.
yeah, actually this past Saturday. So we'll be launching this show as a recording to all of you if I'm talking in the past. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Beautiful day, BBS Radio. Thank you for all your support, all the listeners, sending heartfelt vibes. I don't say love anymore because love is an interesting word, and I'm going to end the show on that. So we think hate is bad, but it's no more extreme than what love is. So love is not a balanced emotion. It can be jealousy, it can be revenge, it can be tough, it can be hard, as well as enjoyment, fulfillment, caring, compassion, all levels of emotions. So it's like two sides. There's love and there's hate. And love is many different emotions. And so I don't want to say love, so I'm going to start saying heartfelt vibes because that's where it comes from, the heart. So I'm sending the audience, everyone, I want to send heartfelt vibes and have a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Thank you.